Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to Marriage Martinis. I'm Adam, here's Danielle.
Hello.
And luckily we have power and we can do this.
Yep. We've been living like cavemen for the past 24 hours.
I mean, cavemen, I did have my laptop charged and I was able to use that while the power was out.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say cavemen.
No, it was total first world problems.
Right.
I mean, for real.
Yeah.
Like we were really bummed that we weren't able to watch that new show with Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd that came out, The Shrink Next Door.
Yeah.
We had really been looking forward to that. And then like, but it's just so funny because when there's no electricity and everything, I went to bed at like, what, 7 o'clock?
No, it wasn't that early.
Oh.
No, but it was probably 9.
Yeah, because there's nothing to do.
Yeah. We lit a fire. But by the way, you know, we have septic and well. So without power, we have no water.
Yeah, people were so confused about that in my Instagram story. They're like, you can't flush your toilet because you don't have power? That makes no sense.
Well, you can once.
Right.
You empty the tank and then there's no more water because there's no electricity to pump the water back into the toilet. So me and the boys were peeing outside all night. And I believe
I got yelled at for peeing
at
inside. It was like camping, but without the fun of camping.
Is there a fun of camping?
Yes. Okay. Camping is very fun. I love it.
Yeah, listen to the episode when we talk about our glamping for my 40th birthday.
Well, that was just a mistake. In hindsight, maybe I should have planned differently.
No, but we made the best of it. We lit a fire in the fireplace. We hung out in the family room. You know, and that's basically all we could do.
Yeah, even the flashlights. Like, I'm using my flashlight on my phone, and I'm like, anyway. I mean, people are sitting like, really? You're complaining?
Right.
About
that's
this?
Our problems. Yeah, exactly.
It's horrible, right. But.
All right, let's talk about our real problems that we have teenagers now.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the problems that I think people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or not. But last week we finished the episode and we didn't mention that we were going to do a part two in the episode. But afterwards, I was sort of like, wait a minute. We barely even talked about the parenting aspect. We were talking a lot about us being teenagers, which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit on the parenting a little bit.
Wait, didn't the episode title say part one?
Well, that I put it in after we recorded it.
Okay.
But I never said in the episode there's going to be a part two, or
right.
We never said in the episode. But we always say we're not experts, and we are so not, especially concerning a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about today. But at the same time, there's something to be said for a lived experience, and we are in the thick of it. So it's not like we're remembering back to, you know, now we're looking back on our kids being teenagers, or we're looking ahead at what we think it's going to be. We are in the thick of it right now, and we are in the thick of it in such a different sense with each of our kids. So with Mia, you know, all three of our kids are extremely different. Like, the fact that they were all three are being raised by us is sort of strange because they are all so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that's a testament to us. I think we have created this environment in the house where we appreciate, especially you. I think you are so good at this.
Oh,
really?
Wait. Hold on. I just want to make sure I'm paying attention. Please continue.
Yeah, you really are. You're very much like, you're so proud of each of them for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times in the past where I think I have a little bit tried to, I don't want to say change our kids, but maybe with Mia trying to have her act more quote unquote appropriately, or just merely out of I want them to not get made fun of and I want them not to be bullied and I want them to be safe and everything. But you really are so good at, I think I said this in the episode when she came out too, at really embracing who they are. And I think that is why, one of the reasons why, I think also probably a lot of it has to do with just how they were born and everything, they are all so different. So we have these different experiences. Number one, raising Mia, who's now 16, and Ian, who's 13, and is probably more of the epitome of a teenager. Mm-hmm. In some ways, Ian. In the social sense and everything.
Well, I didn't know if you were going to be proud of me or mad at me the other day, because Mia works for me in the store. You know, she's there on a weekly basis. And Ian wants to work too. He wants to help, but he's too young. He's 13. He can't literally have a job yet. So, but he likes to come in and help and, you know, hand him, you know, $20 or whatever, you know, but he likes to do it. And the other day, Ian being 13, Mia being 16, you know, Ian was being a little rambunctious, a little annoying, a little whatever, you know, and then Mia was letting him have it. And they started fighting like brother and sister in the store.
Mm-hmm. In your place of business.
Yes. And I yelled.
And, wow.
And it's funny because our manager said to me, like, damn, I didn't know you can yell like that. You know,
I didn't either.
But I did. I was like, this is not the place. Like, I get it. He's being annoying. And with Mia, the way she is, a 16-year-old girl, you know, or at least the way she is just her, you know, you try to tell her she's doing something wrong and she blows it out of proportion and she can't be controlled and she doesn't stop. And that's part of what we're all going to be talking about today. But, like, I couldn't rationalize either way. I couldn't, like, calm her down. I couldn't stop him. I couldn't. And I was just like, everyone stop. Like, this is out of control. Mia, this is not your place. I know you're trying to help, but you're loud. I just got out of control.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah, I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. And I yelled like I was a dad at home talking to my teenage kids.
Right.
Right in front of everybody. You know, like, right. I felt bad about it, but I had to do it. So I was thinking in the back of my mind, like, oh, Danielle's going to love this if she knows that I did this. Or is it like, you fucking asshole. Like, what are you doing yelling at your children in the middle of everybody watching and, you know, surrounded? Like,
oh, no.
I didn't know how
when
to think.
People yell at their kids in public, I am like, I am a supporter because, I mean, not, you know, it all depends. I don't think people should humiliate their children.
Of course.
There are times when, like, I get it. You know, when I see, I kind of give them that look of solidarity. Like, dude, I get it. You are trying your best and your kid is, you know, acting the way, you know, the way they're acting. And I understand, like, when I look at somebody whose kid is acting up in public, I am like, dude.
Well, yeah,
power to you. I
see it many times every single day. Moms with their kids shopping in the store, and their kids are out of control and they're yelling. And I can see you in them, like, with their frustration, and they just give up and, like, they yell, but it doesn't work. And, like, and I give them like an eye, like I give them a glance, like, I get it.
Right.
You know, don't worry about it. Don't be embarrassed.
They're like yelling doesn't work. Screaming doesn't work. It's not an effective technique. And I'm like, I'm not yelling for them. I'm yelling for me.
Right. It's a release.
It's a release.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get that it's not, but it's not, I haven't tried many other things that work. So if screaming makes me feel good. I just feel better.
Yeah.
After.
I try to give them a look like, I understand. Mm-hmm. Don't be embarrassed.
Right.
You're not the only one.
Right.
If, you know, if your kid wasn't misbehaving, then there's a problem because they all do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah. So before also that we dive into this and we're going to talk about finances, I know that. I just want to say also, I had no idea how much money teenagers was going to be until we had them. This year was the most expensive year of our lives for so many reasons. You know, we used to spend a lot of money, but it was like on us having fun and going out to dinners and going on vacation. And
it was
like,
optional.
I mean, yes and no. It really wasn't because we wanted to do it and have fun.
That's what, like, I'm saying. We didn't have to do it.
Right.
It was optional.
Yeah, I guess. Right.
It was frivolous.
Yes, it was frivolous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have spent no money on ourselves in the last year, and it's been the most expensive year of our lives by some nth degree. It's been out of control.
Yes.
I just didn't understand how expensive having teenagers is until now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
This has been, and we'll get into that, but the fact, thank goodness, I say not that everybody needs to move before you have teenagers into a smaller house or whatever, a cheaper place. But for us personally, thank God we moved.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
see, I was
not that it solved our issues financially, right? Yeah. You were foreseeing things. No, but not that it solved our issues, but certainly it has helped. You know, and also we were backtracking and trying to make up for all the stupidity of everything we've spent in the past. But I wanted to start with, you said to me before, haven't we spoken enough about Mia's diagnosis and everything and what she's gone through and everything? And it made me stop and think, like, oh, yeah, are we sort of beating a dead horse with this? Is it something that people are just bored of hearing about? But number one, we really haven't gone into it in detail. And we can definitely do a whole other episode about that. But secondly, I wrote something on Instagram last week, just basically about, you know, having a child who's neurodiverse and who is dealing with this new diagnosis of ADHD and being on the autism spectrum and an unclassified learning disability, and she's LGBTQ, and just all these things about having a child who's somewhat marginalized for whatever reason it may be. And the response was overwhelming. I mean, I couldn't respond to most of the messages because I just can't. Mm-hmm. But it was really obvious that so many people are going through this. And so I know we both have learned so much since the beginning of this journey, which has really come to like a, you know, like, I don't know what the word is, like it's accelerated greatly in this past, I would say since February. So almost, you know, almost a year, 9 months or whatever. And we've always known, or I've always known, that, you know, some Mia was, we would say, quirky. We would say immature in certain ways, mm-hmm. mature in others.
Right.
All the ways that we described her. But nobody, no teacher or anything, or tutor or, you know, extracurricular person or whatever, no one ever said to me, maybe you should get her tested for something.
Well, yeah, I want to cut you off there because
not that I'm blaming anybody.
No.
We're the parents.
Of course. One of the reasons that I said to you also is, should we stop talking about it? I don't know. Is this a good idea to keep going? Because, listen, for whatever problems we have or whatever problems anybody else has, there's always somebody else with a bigger problem. And listen, Mia has her things. All of our kids have their things. They have their issues, but they're all, I hate using this word, but normal functioning human beings. Like they're able to, you know, put their place in society and be their own person and, you know, interact. And so many people have such worse situations. And I didn't want to come across like, oh, you know, woe is us because we have this, you know, teenage girl or boy or boys that have this, and this, and these, you know, situations going on. There's just so much worse out there. And people are, you know, they have kids with such more drastic, issues or whatever it else is. I just don't want to come across like, look at us, you know, we have issues. It's so hard for us. I just don't want to come across that way.
No,
because
of course not.
So, you know, like I said, for everything that I just said, there's way, way, way worse that, you know, it could be.
Yes, and different, and everybody's situation is different, and financially, and all the things that you know, what kind of resources do you have? And but I will say this, without getting into too much detail, there was a day a few weeks ago, and I just want everybody to know also, we have Mia's full consent to talk about all of this. Like, she is fully open about it, and
right.
So
and
I don't want anybody to think.
She was on an episode coming out literally to the world on this podcast.
Yeah.
She is not in any way hiding who she is.
No.
Yeah.
And she would love to come on again, I'm sure, and talk about this. But It did get to a point where a few weeks ago I got a call from guidance, from the guidance office. And she has really been struggling emotionally and mentally at school. It's very overwhelming for her. And I got a call. I'm not going to be too specific about it. But I got a call saying, basically, you need to pick her up. You know, I had to take her. She had to go to a therapist. She had to be evaluated. All of these things, what she was saying in the guidance office and everything, was really a huge turning point for me. That as much as fine, yes, maybe, you know, in society she can function really well and she doesn't have some of the classifications and issues of others, but it has fully and totally hurt her well-being. And it was getting serious and it was getting to the point where I was getting scared. And I was feeling like if something didn't change, I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. It was quickly, exponentially getting worse.
Yeah.
From an emotional standpoint of how she was dealing with it in school and the overwhelming feelings she was feeling. So anyway, it has been a whirlwind since then. But I do know that now I have all of this knowledge, because the research I've done, the people I've talked to, the doctors we've seen, the road has been really very, it's been an enormous learning experience. And it really all changed when I hired an advocate, I have to say, like a month ago. And I kind of did it backwards. I wish I had done it 6 months ago, but I didn't know. I didn't know that this existed really. And for those of you looking for help or whatever, it is an expense, but in a lot of ways, it's going to wind up saving us a lot of money. Because of the advocate, Mia is starting in a new school, a smaller school, that is very warm, supportive. She is so excited. And so we're starting on this journey. But, the thing about girls that I was starting to say last week is that there is so little research about them, especially concerning autism. And girls are with autism are often, and ADHD, are often referred to as, like, the term, you know, the lost girls, or the girls who are hiding in plain sight because they're so overlooked and diagnosed so late. Like Mia, she's diagnosed at 16. Mm-hmm. And on average, boys with autism are diagnosed, you know, by 3 years old or around 3 years old. Girls aren't diagnosed until, you know, around 8 years old, just mm-hmm. on average.
Well, I know why, because I did some research too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And by the way, my research was limited because I was doing my research yesterday and the power went out so as I was doing it. So I did some this morning.
That's almost worse than the dog ate my homework.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like that excuse. But before I get into that, I want to take an early break. I do have to pee really badly.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do that and be right back.
Sure. The holidays are coming up, and I have to say, the Date Night Questions ebook is an awesome stocking stuffer for your partner, or include it in a date night kit you put together yourself. Just wrap it up with some ribbon, put it in a little kit with some Uber gift cards or a gift card to your favorite restaurant, maybe some fun pajamas and your favorite wine to stay home for a date night. There are so many options, but why not get something that will actually be awesome for you and your relationship and that your partner will realize was so thoughtful because it shows that you want to talk, learn, and communicate more. And of course, as always, our podcast listeners get our largest discount, 20% off with the promo code MNMPODCAST. Get your partner the key to an experience that couples are calling the most intimate, reconnecting thing they've ever done. Give the gift of laughter, love, better understanding, and bonding. Head to marriageandmartinis.com/DNQ and enter promo code MNMPODCAST. Then go print it out and come up with something creative to make an awesome date night gift.
Okay, so by the way, it's really nice to be able to flush after you pee.
I know, it's like a luxury we take for granted. Yeah.
So I did some research about boys versus girls being diagnosed with autism or ADHD or, you know, any other diagnosis they may have. But I found that boys are diagnosed 4-1 over girls, and boys, like you just said before, at a much earlier age. And I think that's because it's less obvious in girls, and boys and girls portray it or let it out in a different way, where boys are very rambunctious. They get frustrated. They get, you know, you notice when they're having a tantrum, you know, whatever it may be. Where with girls, it's more about anxiety, or it's more about being frustrated, and it's more of an internal, like, you don't notice because they're just, these poor girls are just hidden from, like you said, right, in plain sight. They're just hidden in plain sight from everybody else. And they're also better at mimicking other girls than boys to other boys. And they try to feel normal. They try to feel to be fit in. They try to, you know, they do things, so it's very hard to notice.
Yeah, it's called masking.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, so these poor kids, you know, these poor girls, they just can't, they don't show it in the same way where it's easy to see in a boy.
Right, yeah. Right. A lot of times the boys have the flapping and the physical things that
right, or just outright outbursts, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, with girls it's a lot more social stuff and everything, so it's harder. And what happened with Mia is, you know, she has really gotten frustrated and became extremely depressed, which is something that often happens in girls who aren't getting the assistance and the diagnoses and the evaluations and everything that they need.
And by the way, that's something that we didn't see for the same reason. And we saw her as having, you know, anxiety or depression. And we just said, let's help you and find a therapist. And that was the route we took because we thought she was just depressed. And that was it. You know, like, let's find out why. And then we did. And it was not because she's just has depression or just has anxiety. There's these underlying things that are serious that needed to be, you know, taken care of in a different route.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I would say I did know about some of the other things, but again, they didn't line up with any of these diagnoses. She doesn't manifest her ADHD symptoms the same way I know you do, or I know of other people. Her the autism component of it is not what I always knew. And listen, we're talking 15, 12 years ago. Wasn't what I knew autism to be. I just didn't know. And looking back, of course, I am beating myself up about it because, of course, I feel so much guilt and everything for all that I missed and all that I didn't do. And yeah, like you said, we got her a great therapist, and she's surrounded by the most incredible people. She has such a wonderful support network, you know, our family and friends and people who she's, you know, teachers she's had and everything. She's had wonderful people in her life. But that doesn't make up for the fact that you want to know why you have these other differences, right? You want to know why you're doing certain things. Why does she get so overwhelmed when she walks in the halls of the school and the noise level? And why does she have to cover her ears when she's in the hallway? Why does she get so, you know, why does she have so much trouble with certain foods and textures and sensory stuff? And why hasn't she been able to wear certain clothes that other girls are wearing with no problem and mm-hmm. stuff like that? And I think about myself with OCD and all of the, I mean, what outsiders would look at as insane behaviors, which I now obviously know are not insane behaviors, just part of the disability. You know, that if I didn't know I had OCD, oh my God, I would have literally just thought I was insane. Right. I would have literally without that label and without that diagnosis and that understanding of why I was doing what I was doing, my life could have been completely different. Mm-hmm. And so she needed that, too.
Well, luckily, she knew she needed some kind of help. She knew what her triggers were. She knew what issues she was having. And she's like, listen, I want to find out who I am.
Yeah.
Help me do that.
Yeah.
And luckily you were on top of it from, you know, second one and able to, you started doing the research and started doing, and everything seems to be, you know, finally coming to fruition.
Finally, yes.
You know,
it has been a long road, and I know people have much longer roads and, you know, much bumpier roads right. and everything. I understand that totally. But it doesn't, you know, when you see your kids suffering, you just want it to stop.
And luckily, thank God, you know, I have you, that you were able to take care of this. I don't know if I could have been able to do it. And you've just been amazing with doing this whole thing.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to next was, you know, not just in general with couples who are navigating all of this crap that, you know, whether you're with neurodiversity, but also just with teenagers, because, right, you have all right. kinds of issues. We have to deal with everything from, you know, bullying, either your kid getting bullied or finding out your kid's the bully, or grades, controlled substances, you know, not doing stupid shit like, you know, making bad choices when you're out with your friends and you know, all of these things that you if you have a partner, you need to realize how to navigate. And it's incredibly stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been incredibly stressful, but in some ways, the timing of it, thank goodness, is now when you and I have been communicating better than ever than like 3 years ago. Because I think about if we had been going through this 3 years ago, it would have just probably broken us even more than we were broken, because we wouldn't have been able to communicate about it, and we would have just been blaming one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I asked you, like, what do you say to couples? Obviously, what we've gone through concerning that, you know, if you're dealing with a kid who's struggling mentally or in school, or, you know, with some kind of evaluation and diagnoses that they've had, or just in general with everything that you deal with when having teenagers.
Right. It's so hard to say. Everybody's so different. Everybody's situations are different. Everybody's communication is different. But for us, you know, we've been through so much together. You know, our communication has become light years ahead of from what it was before. And like I just said before, you know, you were doing the research, you were handling everything, you were making the appointments, you were doing all that stuff. And I was just there to just kind of be like, listen, I trust you. You're my wife. I know you're an amazing mom. You take care of our kids. And I know you know what you're doing at this point because you do the research. And I'm just there to kind of support you and support the kids and make sure that, listen, I'm there for the financial aspect of everything. And that's what stresses me out. Obviously, so does the situation. But what I have to think about on a day-to-day basis is, can we afford the whatever, the therapy, the school, the medications? There's all these things. I mean, it's so fucking expensive to mm-hmm. handle these situations in so many different directions. But I was just like, listen, you know, we're not spending the money on ourselves anymore. This is for our kids. And I trust you know what you're doing. I'm there and you tell me we need to do this next week, and I say, okay, I get it. I trust you. Let's just go for it. So it's kind of, I feel bad saying it, but it's easier for me because I just have to sit back and say, hey, listen, you're doing the thing. I trust you. Let's just do it. But on another level, maybe it's hopefully making it less stressful for you that I can just be there to say, you know, do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just by you saying, you know, by you being there and supporting me through it. And listen, I'm not going to lie. I also, not that I didn't want you to do the research and everything. And there are parts of me that would have liked to have been more involved right. with some of it. It would have been nice. But even still, I think what we've gotten really good at is playing up our own strengths. And I know that my strength is I'm really good at the research. You know, I have my sister who's incredible at this stuff. I knew who to reach out to. And the best thing that I did for anybody who knows somebody who's going through anything that your kid is going through, you know, you have to be brave enough to speak up and ask, because what ultimately ended up changing everything for me was that, or for us, is that I knew someone who had gone through something similar with a similar diagnosis, I would say like 4 years ago. And her name just stuck out. And she's an acquaintance of mine, but I don't know her well. And her name just stuck out. And I knew that her daughter now was in a different school. I knew her daughter now was thriving, where at one point she was really suffering. And I just reached out to her. And I was like, please, can you just tell me what you did? And she did. She was so open about it. She was so wonderful about it. So knowing that there was somebody out there who I could ask, and that I was willing to do that, and not, you know, I'm never looking to hide what we're going through or what our kids are going through or anything, because I want people people to know, because I want to know what they did. Please share your secrets.
I mean, the research that I did was whatever you sent me. Mm-hmm. It was, hey, I found this thing that, you know, Mia needs or Ian needs or Jonah needs. Take a look at it and tell me what you think. And then I researched it, and that's what I did. I don't have these resources. I don't have guys that I can call and say, hey, you know, what do you... It just... Like, I can't think of somebody off the top of my head to say, hey, I know what you're going through. What did you do to resolve it? Like, I don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, you have these connections, which, like I said before, I just trust in you and send me what it is. I'll research it for us and give you my feedback, you know?
Right. And your strength is also keeping calm through all of this when I'm crying and devastated. Right. And, you know, you're definitely more calm. But not to sound completely unromantic and, you know, to reduce it down to this, but to some degree, our house is kind of like its own entity, or like a business kind of, because there's always shit that has to get done to keep it running and to make it successful. And while we've all always sort of split responsibilities, I think now we're actually appreciating what the other one is doing and respecting and admiring each other's roles now. And I'm so grateful, you know, to how you really listened to me through it. Even I came to you maybe a week and a half ago saying, I don't even know if it was a week and a half ago, saying we she needs to change schools. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, and at first, you know, the answer is, oh shit, you know, because it's,
well, it's a reaction. It's not an answer.
Of course. Right. The reaction is, we can't afford it, or, you know, we can't do it, or look how much we've already spent, or, you know, and it's true. It's terrifying. But at the same time, I knew that there was no longer an option. I had put it off as long as I could, and this was it.
And I saw. I knew when I came home from work that day, I saw it in your face. There was something. I knew nothing was wrong. I didn't do anything. I didn't fuck up in any way. So I knew you weren't mad at me. Mm-hmm. All I did was go to work that day and come home.
Oh,
so
I was petrified to talk to you.
I could see it in mm-hmm. your face, and I knew when we were sitting down that you hit me with something like that. Mm-hmm. But I was still, I didn't know what it was going to be. So I was still kind of my, you know, in awe, you know, from my initial reaction, didn't know how to handle it. I had to sleep on it that night and mm-hmm. finally just realizing, yeah, of course. Yeah. We got to do what we got to do.
I mean, it's criminal how much this stuff all costs. I mean,
well, luckily we have support and we have help too. So
absolutely. But it's still criminal how much it all costs. Oh. I mean, not just for everybody. And I'm not just talking about, listen, I know the diagnoses and the evaluations, and you hire the advocates, and the, if you have to put them in a new school or a new program, or, you know, the medicine or the whatever it is. But even people, I mean, I know people who have had to put their kids in rehab several times and everything, and the bank accounts are drained. I mean, to get help is just, it's awful.
It's so expensive.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, I understand, you know, they're doing things to literally change our lives, but it's really expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Every aspect of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was another thing that I was going to say about, you know, raising teenagers together, something on a lighter note that I think you and I have done really, really well, is that we also have fun with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really, really do. And teenagers can suck, but they're also so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And so are we.
And
obviously.
So are we, yes.
And they would probably testify to that, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Like, I remember a few weeks ago, we were watching that movie, We're the Millers, with mm-hmm. the kids, oh with Jason Sudeikis yes. and Jen Aniston, which is a super inappropriate movie.
I'm
you know?
Sorry, are you besties with Jen Anderson?
Jen Anderson.
Anderson?
Wow.
Jennifer Aniston? Jen Aniston?
Yes, yes. I am actually
Jen.
Besties with her.
So you
yes,
can call her
like
Jen.
Yes, she has, like, several of my posts, so, I mean, we're practically like roommates.
Okay, but the rest of us, she's known as Jennifer. But for you, it's Jen.
She's Jen.
Okay, just want to make sure.
She's just Jen.
Oh, I got it.
So I just feel like, you know, at the end of the day, to play up the fun stuff, you know, we were, like I was saying, we were watching We're the Millers, and it's such an inappropriate movie. But like nothing bad. I mean, it's just stupid inappropriate. Like there's, you know, some scenes, like he has the scene with the swollen balls where like,
well, it's like vulgar inappropriate.
It's vulgar. Yes. Yeah, but it's nothing, you know, nothing happens that you're like worried that your kids are gonna, you know, I don't know. But I guess it depends what your standards are of inappropriate.
Well, you'd rather them watch that than me showing them like Commando or
Yeah, I mean, I don't even care about that. But you know, yeah,
violence or yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but we had so much fun, and like when an inappropriate scene would come on, they would be mortified that they were watching it with us, and you and I would just live for those moments. Uh-huh. Like, nope, you have to look, like, you know, and just in all seriousness, just like I feel like it is such a fun time also. I mean, we've gone to concerts and we really have tried to do fun things when it was quarantine. So I do think having that part of it together has really, it helps. And you and I really bond over that.
It's fun. I like being like an immature little boy with my immature little boys. Mm. You know, like it takes me back. Like literally 30 minutes ago, Jonah was at the pool table playing with the pool balls, and he's just knocking them around. He's not playing pool. He's just, you know, having fun. So I was like, hey, Jonah, what's going on? What are you doing? And he goes, I'm playing with the balls. So I said to him, what? What'd you say? He said, you know, I'm just playing around here, whatever. I was like, did you say you're playing with your balls? And he just goes, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, really? Dad.
Right. Right.
You know, like, come on.
Right.
And I'm like, I live for that shit. Like, yeah. I just want to be immature and have fun.
You've been waiting to do that for 20 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, you really have.
Yeah.
All right, life lessons you absolutely want our kids to know before leaving the house and heading out into the world.
I think, by the way, we may be doing part 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go ahead. Well, let's do what we can.
Okay. So wait, I'm sorry. What was the question?
3 life lessons you absolutely want your kids to know, like our teenagers right now. Like I said last week, I feel like we're racing against the clock, right? Like the days of our lives sand through the hourglass kind of thing. Like, you know, it's like Operation, right? You know, where the buzzer goes off and everything just pops out and you're like, fuck, I wasn't done. Like, it's literally like that. Like, not just from the, I don't want my kids to leave because I'm going to be sad, but the, are they fucking ready to be in society?
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, I think really first and foremost is they need to really understand what they love and what they want to do for the next, 50 years?
Oh, God.
Right?
That sounds long.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're 18, 19, 20 leaving the house, hopefully not 25, God willing. 30, you know? Like, what? Like, I want them to wake up and go to, you know, quote, work and be happy. And it's not work. They have to decide, is money going to make them happy? Do they want a job that pays a lot of money? Or do they want to do something that they love with hopefully could make you a lot of money too?
Yeah, hopefully they can.
Right.
I mean, at least enough money that when they're, if their kid has to, you know, get evaluations and advocates and schools and everything like that, they can afford it.
Right. But I just really want them to focus on, what do you want to do? Like, what makes you happy? What makes you want to get up and do that thing? And hopefully you can monetize that and do it. Mm-hmm. And not just sit back and just be like, oh, there's money in this job. This is what I'm going to do. And find out 20 years later, like, how miserable they are. Or, you know, I just want them to find what it is and do it. And if they're okay with not making a ton of money and what they're doing isn't going to make them a ton of money, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be way happier without money doing something you love every single day. And they all have that thing, and they're 3 separate, completely different things. I just want them to go do that and hopefully be successful in doing those things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. I didn't think about that when I was a kid, when I was in high school, when I was in college, dropped out. 6 months of college, you know, like I was so lost. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think about that thing. Luckily, thank God for me, I did have a business to fall back on, and I do love what I do. So luckily I have that, but I really want them to have passion about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you? Am I supposed to keep going
or are we going ahead, one for going. One?
I want them to really experience life before it's too late. I'm really okay with taking, you know, a year off after high school, a year off after college, a year off after whatever. And just, do they want to go to Australia? Do they want to go live in Paris? Do they want to go learn things about the world that you can't learn in school? And I think that's really important. And you're going to get so much out of life other than just learning too by living in a foreign country or even another state. Who cares? Go to fucking Arizona. Go to, you know, whatever. If there's something there that you love about it, go do it. And then come back, realize who you want to be, what you want to be, and then learn those. If it's college, if it's vocational, if it's whatever, if it's experience. Listen, you know, we didn't do those things, but we're doing them now, and that's okay too. But I think there's a lot to be said for doing them when you're young. Well, you did. You went to Mexico for a year, right?
Not a year, for a couple months.
Right. Okay. So I didn't do that. But I just think that's such an important thing that can change your life in such a positive way. I hope they do though. You know, do those things or do that or. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Do I have anything else? Okay. This is a little sappy. And I don't even really want to use these words, but I really hope they find someone who will complete them. Like,
hey, Jerry Maguire.
I know. I don't want to say it. It's awful, but it's so true. I feel that way about us. Like you and I, like you and I
can only complete yourself.
I do many nights, but you and I are so similar, but we're so different. I'm missing, you know, emotions, and, you know, and you're missing like reason and logic.
I was just going to say you were born without a heart.
Yes, you were born without a brain. We're like the Wizard of Oz of marriages.
I was going to say a little part of my brain. You just went for the whole brain. Okay.
So you make up for my emotional lack thereof. I make up for your reasoning. And, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like we're missing things in us that we fill for each other. But like we fill the gaps. Oh God, I don't want to say that. Fill the gaps. This is awful. I don't want to say these things. But we do. And it's so God awful to say it, but we do.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that our children find that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That was nice, right?
So nice.
Wasn't that sweet?
That in was, a way? Now I want to watch Jerry Maguire.
In a weird roundabout way, that was very romantic of me.
Okay. Yes. yeah, I said, look, it's so hard for me because, first of all, I could go the whole social justice route and all the things that I want them to know about, you know, being open to everything and helping and, you know, the anti-racism and the, you know, the be an ally for LGBTQ and all that stuff, you know, but right. I it would take me all day.
Mm-hmm.
The other part that's so hard for me is that for me, if you know me, if you follow me on Instagram, you follow my stories, or if you know me real life.
We have to cut you off.
Why?
Don't lose your thought.
Why?
We have to take a break now.
Oh my God.
That's a nice little like teaser.
I was just getting into
it. I know. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But we do.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. I'm sorry. I apologize for cutting you off, but please.
Yeah, you should be.
Continue.
I was going to say, it's hard. If you know me, you know, like, I can't pick one thing or three things because with life and with my kids, I feel like every moment is a teachable fucking moment. Like, there's never a time when I'm not like, you see kids? And blah, 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 blah. Like, no matter what we're doing, like, we could go into Starbucks and the barista gets our order wrong. And I'm like, just let it be. You don't know what that person's going through. You know, maybe their dog died this morning. And Ian's like, dude, mom, I just, like, want some more vanilla syrup. Like, it'll be okay. You know, like, I feel like every second, and the kids get so annoyed. But I am. I feel like every moment is like, how can I make this into a teachable moment that is going to change their mm-hmm. lives forever? But I think, first of all, something I think that quarantine and that the pandemic has even made more evident is that, you know, time is so fucking precious and we want to spend it with people who really move us and we're passionate about. And, you know, during this pandemic, you and I have spoken before about like with the bar mitzvah and stuff, that some people came up to us and they were like, dude, where was so-and-so, or where was so-and-so? And we were kind of like, you know, we haven't really spoken to them like since the beginning of the pandemic. Like, we just haven't, you know, when you put it all together and you realize who really makes a difference in your life and who you really want to spend your time with and stuff. I feel like recently we've realized that. And so I want my kids to really find their people and the ones who really understand you. And, you know, and one thing is like, there, you don't need a lot of relationships in your life, but you do need relationships in your life. I just did an episode on this without you with a relationship expert. You do need relationships in your life that aren't romantic. It's very important. And they say that the people who are the happiest are people who have at least three non-romantic, really solid, important relationships in their life.
Oh, that- wait a minute. I don't have a lot of friends. So, you know, I've been talking to some guys. I'm trying to like possibly make some new friends. So I should keep romance out of it and just kind of make it a bro thing.
Make it a bro thing. Okay. Yes.
I just want to make sure. I just didn't know where you were going with that.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, I spoke to this about this in an episode, that you really need other, you can't just rely on your partner for everything. You need those other relationships. The second thing I said is pretty easy, that, you know, you and I have come to learn in the past 5 years, really a lot, probably really just the last year or 2 years. Experiences, not possessions. That it's all about experiences. Mm-hmm. That, again, people who are happiest, it seems, you know, spend their money and their time not on possessions, but on experiences. And, you know, I hope that they'll all realize that.
But listen, if you can afford both, great.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's okay too.
Definitely. Yeah. And maybe you're happier with possession. You know, listen, whatever floats your boat.
Exactly.
But I certainly think a good place to start is with experience. Experiences. And you and I think also that never stop having fun ever. You know, I'm 40, almost 44. I still have that part of me. I know you still have that part of you, and it's important. You always have to make time for fun. And that you don't have to stop living and having fun just because you have kids or just because you have a job, or, you know, you can do both. What are you worried our kids don't understand about the world at their age as teenagers that we definitely had a better understanding of or handle on when we were teenagers?
I mean, that's kind of easy for me to say, and I hate going back to the finance thing as I always do, but technology is making things so easy now. It makes you forget kind of how much you're spending on like stupid everyday things. Like, perfect example. When our kids want something to eat, right? They go on DoorDash and they order Popeye's chicken for $10 and they pay $5 convenience fee, $5 delivery fee, $15 tip, you know, $5 here, $5. Like, and they end up spending $50 on $10 worth of Popeye's chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were kids, I would ride my bike to 7-Eleven, get a hot dog or a Slurpee from, you know, and be done with it. Like, and it cost me $3 and I was done and I was out of there. Like, technology just makes things so easy to be lazy and to be convenient and to be, and at the same time, you're spending so much more money on something that could cost you so much less. And I think there's a lot of other examples too that I don't even want to get into or think about, but, and I know our kids don't have that same situation as, there's nowhere to ride their bikes around here to go to someplace and get there. I get it. But it's just an example of what I was saying. Technology is making things way too easy to just spend way too much money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So that was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I said fucking everything. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, there's just so much, I feel like, that they don't understand. And the two things that stick out in my mind so much are resiliency and independence. And on the mm-hmm. one hand, I say to myself, look, they're living through a pandemic, right? So they didn't get to see their friends for months and months, and they had to do school from home. And there are certain ways that I realize, obviously, they're adaptable and they're resilient in certain ways. But then there are other ways that I'm like, oh, sometimes I'm like, oh my God. Like, for instance, Ian had to start a new medication that he'd never taken before. And he's at school in the middle of the day. It's like 11:30, you know, in the morning. And he texts me and he goes, "Mom, my arms feel heavy."
What?
Yeah, his arms felt heavy. Like they just, you know, they just. It, I don't
from
know.
His medication.
He thought it was from his medication or whatever. And I was like, so don't fucking lift them. Like, what do you want me to do? Your arm. You know, if he had said, like, I have a splitting headache and whatever. But this is just, I said to my friends, I'm like, am I being a bitch that, like, I don't think he should be texting me at 11:30 a.m. being like, you know, and it's not just that. If he had a paper cut, he would text me. If he, you know.
Paper cuts suck.
If he spilled some water on himself and was uncomfortable. Like, and I said that to my friend and they're like, oh, no. We totally know what you're talking about. So I don't think it's just me. I think it's like technology has made it that at any second you can. You know, you want to share with everybody like what you're going through and what, you know, and again, I don't want to be a bitch. Like if it was really hurt, I want to help him. But something like that is just an all day occurrence with him. Like I could never call my mom and be like, my arms feel heavy. She would have flipped her shit. I mean, especially if like Donahue or Oprah was on and I called
them. Maybe just hung up on you and be done with it.
I mean, first of all, I would have had the same kind of thing. I would have go to the payphone, put in money, you know, she probably wouldn't have answered or would have been call waiting or whatever, or she wouldn't have gotten to the phone in time, or there were just so many steps that I would have been like, all right, I guess I'll just deal with my arms feeling heavy because I don't feel like going to the payphone and calling her right now. But again, it's that instantaneous, all I have to do is text her.
Oh yeah, for 3 seconds, my arms just felt heavy. Let me call my mom.
Yeah.
Like, and I can do it in 2 seconds.
Right. Yeah. And of course, listen, I don't want him to suffer and I don't want him
He's not suffering. I know,
that's the thing. That's the thing. But I do say that to myself about a lot. Like sometimes Mia will text me in the middle of the day and sometimes she needs to. And sometimes she'll be like, oh, this teacher just sprung a quiz on us. And I'm like, you could have told me that at 3:15. There's literally nothing I can do for you right now.
Or, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Take the quiz.
It's life.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I can't even imagine having called my mom or text, you know, I couldn't text back then, but I just, stuff like that where I just had to, like, figure it out. You know, I just had to figure it out. But it's like the instantaneousness of, oh, I can get a reaction right now from it and I can have somebody else be pissed with me or, you know, get, like, it's that whole kind of like, are they going to be able to get out there and just be like, you know, and just do things without it having to be, you know, an Instagram post or a text or a, you know, like it just is a different, I don't know. Am I coming off like a raving bitch?
No, not at all. Okay. It's completely relatable.
Yeah.
And listen, I would tell you if I thought you were wrong.
Right. And I did say to a bunch of my friends, because before I was going to talk about this, I was sort of like, I don't know, am I going to come across? They're like, listen, I know exactly what you're saying because I deal with it too. So, yeah.
All right. There was another question that you asked me, which I really liked and I was doing my research and I really wanted to answer. And I think we only have time for one more.
Okay.
So this, we'll save the rest and do part three. But I wanted to add this one into this episode. And you asked me if we were to make a playlist of songs to accurately describe the tone, mood, and accuracy of the teenage human experience, what would the first 5 songs be?
Yeah.
Did you do these?
I did. I did 3 songs. Okay. Because I, again, we lost power.
Right.
Oh, I'm just going to use that. I actually just didn't finish, but right, exactly. I'm going to use We Lost
But I
power.
Love this. It took me back to my
oh, good. I thought you would
high
like
school
that.
Days.
Oh, yay. Yeah. I did good.
So number one, obviously, is Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yep. That's a good one.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, so what, are you going to tell us what about Welcome to the Jungle?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so sex, drugs, and rock and roll was a nihilistic way of life. A jungle, a place that offered fame and money, but also addiction and poverty to those who didn't make it musically. That was a quote from Axl Rose, which, you know, just means it's a fucking jungle out there. Not everybody's going to make it. And if you don't, it might be really bad. But for those who do make it, it's going to be fucking amazing.
You mean being a
possibly.
Teenager?
Yeah, so being, you know, I related this to being a teenager, not just being a musician, where, listen, life is fucking hard. Some of you are going to make it, and some of you are not. Oof. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Listen, teenagers are depressing.
I know, it's so true.
But it's true. I mean, that's just fucking life, right?
Oh,
yeah.
I want them all to make it.
But I went from there to, this is not positive, but it's more uplifting than I think Welcome to the Jungle was.
I mean, I would, what isn't?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I did that too.
Of course you did.
High five.
Who wouldn't do that?
Right. Okay. Right? So what did you say about it? I want to compare our answers.
My answer to that one was just, it's just a song about teenage freedom and revolution against the norm. That plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Like it's just being a standout teen and not conforming to what's normal.
Well, it actually is named after the deodorant.
Yes,
you know?
I do know that.
Okay. And yeah, I did Smells Like Teen Spirit. Also, just from the standpoint of teenagers are fucking gross.
Right.
Right?
Like, I don't know. I think Ian tries.
No. I'm not even talking about body stuff. Like, Mia has a fantastic hygiene and she right. is, I mean, I'm not even talking about that.
She actually brushes her teeth twice a day.
Have you ever looked at the fucking cups and dishes in their rooms or the basement where he plays video
yes.
games? And the mold that is growing in the, I mean, it is repulsive. Like, they just do, I mean.
Wait, what does this have to do with Smells Like Teen Spirit?
It just the growth, like, tells them Smells Like Teen Spirit is like, you know, like.
It's, like, it smells like a teen.
Yeah, like a
spirit.
Teenager, whatever. And yes, sometimes also I have to be, you know, with our 13-year-old, I have to be like, dude, it's time to shower or, you know, whatever. But also just the, like. I know if you have teenagers, you have carried cups and plates mm-hmm. and, you know, crusty, dry pizza bagels or whatever out of their room before.
I think our youngest, I think Jonah's the worst at this. When I go into his room,
yeah,
I mean, there are plates of food from yeah. days ago. Yeah.
Right. I almost want to, like, plant a rat or something just so that they, like, think.
When,
like,
I go to his room, it smells like McDonald's in his room constantly. And he didn't go there for 3 days, but
right.
it smells like McDonald's.
Right, because it's still in his room.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, and Rolling Stone put Smells Like Teen Spirit, the magazine Rolling Stone, put that as the number 9 best song of all time.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Also, Jeremy, Pearl Jam.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a tough
so
one.
So many depressing ones.
But they're teenagers. Teenagers are depressing.
Okay.
I mean, this is a hard one. I mean, you know, it's a song about a boy who kills himself, but it's all about revenge against the kids that were tormenting him. So he, like, literally killed himself to be like, fuck you, I'm not taking your shit
Ooh,
anymore.
I don't know. Is this too...
No, I mean, listen, this is hard stuff, but that's why they did this song.
Ooh.
This is hard shit. You know,
right? Oh.
But you have to. I mean, this is what we're talking about. Where we're learning. Where, you know, back when was this album released? 1992.
Yeah.
Like
one.
We didn't have the resources that we have today. Mm. Like, not to say our kids are in any way were to this degree, but you know, we can see what they're going through and help them. Unlike you could in 1992, I think. Mm-hmm. Right.
No, I think it's still hard to help and to. I think it's just hard. It's
yeah.
hard sometimes. You just don't know what's going on in their minds. It's so hard.
All right. But we'll move on because that's too depressing.
Well, yeah. And mine is like, I did Schools Out for Summer. I mean, it's a tradition that every year, the last day
yep.
of school, I blast it through the house and the kids, you know, I think they secretly love it, but, you know, just like, it's just a fun, like, school, you know, that's what you wait for all year as a teenager. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. all about summer. It's all about winter break, spring break. You're just living for those times.
You picture, like, at the end of Grease when they all leave school
for the
summer.
Yeah, the one that I want.
Like that, having that party.
Yeah.
I don't know if you don't watch Colbert. Right,
sometimes.
The Late Night Show. He does this thing with celebrities where he wants to know about them and he asks them personal questions. And one of them is, you're stranded on a desert island. What's the one song you can bring with you? Right? So I always thought about that. Like, what's the one song I could listen to for the rest of my life? Like, what's the best? Like, to me, so, and I was trying to think of what that would be and how can I relate it to this? So I picked Kashmir by Led Zeppelin.
Can you sing a little bit of that?
No. I can do this. Dun 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 dun.
I can't even think of the lyrics.
Dun dun Oh, the lyrics are just
beat down upon my face.
I didn't want to sing, but musical.
Of course not, because you're gonna try to compete with me.
Don't you remember the lyrics from which movie was it with Matt Damon? I think it was Ocean's One of them. And Matt Damon used the lyrics of Kashmir to try to like communicate with some big boss or something.
Okay.
You don't remember this?
No.
All right, doesn't matter. But yeah, famous, completely famous lyrics ever. But the song was just about, it's all about the road journey itself, not about a specific geographical location. Like, I was trying to relate this to what we're talking about, and it's just, it's all about the experience. It's all about the road to get where you're going to. Mm-hmm. Like, what you're going through on the road to get to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so simplistic and so like easy to understand. Like, mm-hmm. wherever you want, like, I want my kids to know wherever you want to end up, enjoy the process getting there. Enjoy the road it's going to take you to get there and experience life while you're trying to do it is how I related to this.
Mm. Did you ever read Kerouac?
No.
Okay. You should.
Listen. I've read 3 books. You know the 3 books that I've read. Right, exactly. No, I did not ever read
Okay.
it. Do you have any more? I have one more if you have.
I did No Scrubs by TLC. Just because.
Sing it? Because I don't know it.
No Scrubs.
Yes, got it.
Okay. A scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly. You know?
Yeah.
I did it. First of all, it just reminds me of my teenage years. And second of all, like, you spend your entire teenage life, I mean, especially as a girl, trying to figure out, you know, like, is this guy an asshole? Is this guy a good guy? Is he a good person? You know, like, is he just using me? Is mm-hmm. he, you know, is this, and a lot of times you date people who aren't worthy of your time, who aren't, you know, and you're learning, right? And you look back. I mean, I look back at some of my high school relationships, especially this one guy who went to Hun, and he was like a total,
total douche.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, but seriously, you look back on your relationships in high school and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, why did I let that person treat me like that? Or like, even for friendships and everything, right? You're really trying to figure out, you know, you look back now and you're like, thank God I at one point, hopefully, figured out my worth and that I, you know, wasn't just letting people like dick me around. But I think a lot of us go through that. I'm sure guys too, because girls can be, you know, the same way. But
I don't know. I look back and I'm like, why are these amazing girls dating me? Like, really? Why are they hooking up with me? Yeah.
I mean, I had some, I mean, I'm not going to say that I had all bad experiences, but I certainly had experiences when I look back and I'm like, why? What was I thinking?
You know what's so funny? That reminds me of a story. I think I may have mentioned this on like an old episode that we did maybe 3 years ago, but it just reminded me of being at high school, and there's this one girl. She was so pretty and so tall. Like, she looked like a, you know, she looked like Cindy Crawford. Like,
thank
she was,
you so much.
No, that was before you, even though I can't think of anything.
I mean, I've been compared to Cindy Crawford so many times.
Like,
she
was probably 5'10", 5', you know, 5'11", you know, I'm 5'8", you know, like, it was a total mismatch, whatever. But she was like into me for a day, which I was fine with. You know, that works. But we happened to be out in the yard and we're like just hanging out. And I happened to be standing on this concrete ledge or whatever next to the grass. And she was standing on the grass. And the ledge was, you know, 2 inches taller than the grass. And we just started kissing. And somebody was like, what? Like pointing and laughing, like, look at him standing on a ledge kissing this 5'10 girl, you know? And I'm like, fuck you, look how hot she is. I don't give a shit.
Did she stop kissing you?
No, it was great. That was like a 4-hour relationship. It was wonderful. I
best
thoroughly
4 hours
enjoyed
of your
it.
Life, right? Oh my God, that's so funny.
Wait, where were we? How did we get into this? All right, my last song.
Okay.
I chose Basket Case. I just threw out for Ian for Green Day.
That was so nice.
A song about anxiety attacks and a feeling that you are going crazy. And also, I mean, it's pretty much a stereotype, the whole connection with paranoia, and it's about smoking pot, and smoking pot, you know, makes some people paranoid, whatever. But the whole thing is just about being a fucking teen and being anxious and feeling like you're going crazy. And that's it. that, you know, nothing, no in-depth, just being a teen and being anxious and crazy and smoking weed and being paranoid, and that's it. Mm. But that's totally relatable from what I can remember as being a teen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to end this by saying, first of all, to all of you out there, no matter what, if you are teen parents or, you know, have teenagers in your life who you are somewhat, you know, involved with, like helping to raise them or just, you know, a role model for them or whatever. Like, I just am sending so much support and so much love because it is hard.
It is fucking hard.
And I know everybody's doing their best. And, you know, a lot of it is you just don't know what the fuck is actually going on in their minds. And, you know, you look back at 2020 hindsight, and like I said about Mia and everything, like, I, of course, there's part of me that's like, oh my God, I wish I had done it earlier and sooner, and how could I have not seen it and this and that. And, but, you know, I want to also say to people, like, everything we're doing is from a good place and we're doing our best. And so, you know, I feel for everybody, for everything that you're going through right now, or whatever you're worried about having teenagers down the line and everything. It's hard. It's beautiful and wonderful and heartbreaking and, you know, messy and chaotic and all of it. It's just all of it.
But it's all worth it, right?
It is all worth it.
Yeah.
It is all worth it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. And, I guess that's it.
I think
it.
That's it. I mean, that's it for now. I think we do have to do part three. You sent me more questions.
Okay, sure.
I answered more questions.
I'm also interested if, I don't know, for people who have had the date night question book and, you know, it's doing really, really phenomenally well, and we get such amazing feedback. I have thought about doing a parenting version, you know, that would have, you know, have these kinds of questions,
okay.
You know, that you can either just sit and think about yourself, talk about with your teen, or do with your partner, or all of the above. If that is something that interests people, please reach out and let me know, because I really do think I want to do that. I feel like
okay.
It would be, especially after going through everything this past year, I think it would be great.
All right. I like it.
All right. Please go rate and review if you haven't already. I know a lot of people like listen to me say that and are like, yeah, but please, if you could and you're enjoying it, that'd be awesome.
All right. Cool.
All right, have a great week, everyone, and we will see you back next week.
Thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.